Hello, and welcome to the Eve Reader Podcast. My name is Zendane, and this is episode 14, The Plague Years. Fermar looked at the sun for the last time. His home had one of the most scenic spots on the asteroid mining colony, and if he stood at this living room window at the eve of the day, he could see all the ships coming and going. One had docked just now. Fermar inhaled deeply, holding his breath before slowly letting it out again. His hair was all gray and his hands were rough and creased, as befitted a man who'd worked on the colonies all his life. He noticed his own reflection in the window, superimposed on the starry blackness. It seemed to be smiling. There was a knock and the sound of someone opening the door outside. A man said, "He's in there, sir." And another voice said, "Thank you, I'll see myself in." There was the sound of a door closing. A man walked into the living room. He was dressed in black, stylish in a fairly classical way, and covered with a mop of curly, dark hair. Noticeable, all in all, but not memorable. He was younger than Fermar by at least 30 years, but didn't carry himself with the same bullish assurance. Fermar moved like a man used to high gravity. This other man crept like someone expecting the sky to pick him up at any time.
"Terden," Fermar said.
"Hi, Fermar,"
Terden said.
"Get out."
"That's not what you think."
"Get out. I have a deal for you. I have a gun in working order. Get out!"
Terden walked over to a couch and sat down, unbuttoning his coat and pulling off his gloves.
I want to help you," he said. "You want to do a lot of things, but help won't be high on the list. I wanted to see you on the sly, too, but I was nabbed as soon as I came in. Security's tight here."
"Of course it is."
Terden ran a hand through his thick hair.
"So you know why I'm here. Your creatures are coming. They're settling in the area, kidnapping people, same as they always do."
"Which is why I'm here," Terden said. "Hear me out, but take a seat first, please."
Fermar looked at him for a moment, then walked over to a chair opposite the couch and sat down.
"Well, you're right. The people I work for, they're coming. They're reaching out and they're going to need new recruits. But nobody has to be hurt. You yourself could walk away completely untouched."
"Everyone gets hurt when the Sancha come in."
"We don't want to fight, and we don't want people to die," Terden said, ignoring the comment. "You and I, we know each other. You remember what it was like last time, and I don't want that to happen again. I want you to give up this colony and convince the people to surrender so that we can move in quietly and without bloodshed."
"You know what happened in the plague years," Fermar said.
"Why did you even bother coming to me?"
"Because I do remember the plague years, and the time before them, too. I remember being taken in for a long time when I didn't have anywhere else to go, and I remember a family that showed me kindness when I didn't always deserve it."
"A damn straight you didn't."
"And I remember Carla."
Fermar jumped to his feet as if he'd been stung, glowered at Terden and seemed about to say something, hesitated, then merely stood there in silence. Finally, it was as if all the air went out of him and he sat down heavily again. The two men sat there, unmoving. After a while, Fermar said,
"Drinks in the wood cabinet, and lounge in the other room. No ice."
Terden got up and walked out of the room. There was a clink of glasses and he returned, handing a drink to Fermar and holding one himself.
"There was only one bottle. I don't go much for alcohol," Fermar said. "I serve guests, that's it."
"Always happy to be a guest here," Terden said, and took a sip, then grimaced.
"Strong stuff."
Fermar held his glass at arm's length, as if he'd forgotten about it. He had a faraway look in his eyes.
"Why did you bring her up?" he said.
"When we come in, who do you think is going to be in the lead?"
Fermar put his glass down and stared at Terden.
"You all did me a lot of good during hard times," Terden said. "But that's over now. These are new times. Remember Administrator Melview?"
"You will not mention that name again."
"It's the height of the plague years, and I won't pretend that the term doesn't apply to the Sancha, too, because they came right when everything was bad enough already. So what happens? The leader of the mining colony is approached one night at his house by a scout like me, and he gets an offer, same as you do now, and he takes the offer. We move in, not intending any violence, but then some people get it into their heads that they want to fight. So they fight, and they get hurt, and some of them manage to run away, and some of them don't, all because the colony leader tried to make a sensible deal with us, and some people made a bad decision."
Terden leaned forward.
"It doesn't have to happen again, to hear you, of all people, saying this."
"Well, they're coming, Fermar, and you're the leader now. But I know that you can keep your people in check, so I offer you the same deal as they did back then."
He leaned back, waiting for an answer. When none was forthcoming, he said,
"You know, they don't always do this. Sometimes they just
move in, especially when they're hungry for people. Oh, believe me, with the capsule leaders thinning out their numbers, they're real hungry right now. But I know you, and I asked to come here and smooth things out. We might fight back this time, too. I have contacts, and I've heard of the Sancha coming, and I made sure that we had weapons.
That's stupid, Terradon said. Stupid and suicidal.
They have my daughter. You know this. You people are all on the other side of everything.
They fell silent. Terradon looked around.
Yeah, I know. Thanks for the reminder. It's not like I'm here trying to help you, you ungrateful old fossil.
He looked back at Fermar.
I wasn't going to bring up family, but since we're on the subject, how's your wife?
She's dead, Fermar said.
Well, that a fact. Is that why you have no pictures of her around here?
Terradon said. He waved his hand at the walls.
I see pictures of your daughter here, but not your wife. That's surprising, isn't it?
Fermar sat silent. Terradon continued.
I think she's dead to you, which is usually a little different, though right now I think it comes out about the same. When did you lose her? After we came? Long after?
Why the hell are you asking this?
Because the only one that matters to you now is Carla, and I don't believe for a second that you're being colony leader because you want to.
It's because you're a sensible man with a good hand on his shoulders who's taken so many losses that now he only wants to wait until life catches up with him and eats that one last breath he has.
Terradon took another sip of the drink and quietly added, You could see Carla. Fermar's breath caught. His own drink was untouched. He reached for it, hesitated, then reached again for it but didn't pick it up, only held on to it as if for ballast.
What did you say?
Well, I can't guarantee that you'd spend much time together, but at least you would meet again. She's close enough in the area that she could be brought over, and I've told the Sancho her connection to you. But that's not going to happen if you bring a fight.
They won't send Carla if I fight?
Oh, they'll definitely send Carla if you fight, with a gun in her hand, and this is the first house she'll go to. They'll dock, and they'll swarm in, and they won't enter a single house until they've entered yours, drag you out of it, and put a bullet in your brain. They will make an example out of you.
Fermar studied Terradon for a moment and then said,
I believe you. Speaking of which, that rotten cheat of a colony leader whose name you mentioned earlier, how's he doing?
Administrator Melview? He made the right choice. He's doing fine. He's enjoying his life.
That's so.
Absolutely, Terradon said without hesitation.
See, that's interesting, because the last time I saw him, he was tied to a chair in a noise-proof room, and there was very little life left in him.
Terradon, sipping from his glass, froze up.
You're right, Fermar said. He did make the right choice back when he was colony leader. It was right for him and nobody else, and we never forgot it.
Fermar, glass in hand, slowly rose from his feet and walked over to Terradon, towering over him.
I lost Carla, who your people took, and I lost my wife, who couldn't stand the loss in the aftermath. The Sancha took everything from me, and that miserable excuse for a human being we had as a colony leader, he paved their way.
He poured the content of his wine glass on the floor next to Terradon, who momentarily looked down at his own glass before looking up again with a puzzled expression.
For years, I couldn't even think straight. Carly had been taken, and I wanted to get her back at any cost. I made contacts, I moved around, and I started to learn about the people you serve, but there was no way to get to her, or even discover where she was.
He leaned in close.
Until, at long last, I tracked down my old colony leader. He was a spy at that point, working with you people in another colony, reporting on its setup and getting in with its leaders.
And you ratted him out to be tortured and killed.
During which I discovered the life among the true slaves isn't really that pleasant. In fact, it's downright rotten. You're taken in and made into a mindless drone, subject to the whims of a single person who certainly doesn't bear your interests at heart, and eventually it drives you insane. Doesn't matter what level your implants are. There's a threshold beyond which you start to rebel against a lack of free will, and your subconscious realizes it's been trapped. It's extremely painful in the long run, though the symptoms break out in unusual ways. You've never thought about how willing those people are to die for your master. You would think that even his machinery couldn't erase that survival instinct. But once you've been his slave for long enough, apparently all you want to do is die.
Terradon took a long, slow sip.
I'm perfectly fine, he said. Well, you scouts get more autonomy than the rest, Fermar said. All they need to do is keep tabs on you, not control you. They'll have vetted you and found that you're one of the rare breed who willingly joined the Sancha. You're safe.
Terradon stared at him, his jaw clenched.
Was there something wrong with the wine?
He said at last, nodding his head towards the puddle of alcohol on the floor and lifting his own glass to his mouth.
Oh, it's poisoned,
Fermar said. Terradon stopped, wine in his mouth. He slowly swallowed and said,
I've finished half a glass, Fermar.
Fermar looked at the spreading stain on the floor. Terden followed his gaze, dropping his own glass in the process. When Terden looked up again at Fermar, the old man had a gun in his hand. Terden's eyes widened and he started to rise, but Fermar shot him, first through a knee and then through each shoulder. Terden dropped to the floor, screaming, and Fermar leaned down beside him, saying, Before you go into shock, I want to tell you something. I know this won't get to the Sandship because they don't use direct feeds on their scouts. First off, the wine wasn't poisoned. I wanted to slow you down a bit, make you comfortable, and distract you at the end. Which is funny, because that's pretty much what your type does when you're about to pounce on the innocent people. Second, I know Carla's in this region. She's been here for a while. It was a long while before I realized that I couldn't possibly go after her, and if I tried, they'd either kill me or move her somewhere I'd never find her. So I'm bringing her here, to me. Terden was quiet, gasping for breath. Fermar arose, grunting with the effort. Once every... He hesitated, then fired a shot into Terden's arm. Terden screamed, and his hand, which had been reaching into his clothes, dropped back into view, a small pellet rolling out of its grip. I leave the suicide dose alone, thanks. I want you to hear this. Fermar ambled up to his seat, keeping his gaze on Terden. This entire colony is wired with explosives. Terden's grimace turned to surprise, and he stared at Fermar in shock.
You're insane, he said.
Everyone has left, just about. I knew you people were coming even before you did. I still have my contacts, and I watch the solar winds. When they made me leader, I told them about my Sancha experience, and one of the first things I did was implement an escape plan in case your employers decided to move into this area. Which they did, after a good long while, and I had my people start practicing. He had the gun trained on Terden, and his eyes narrowed. When I found out that you, of all people, had been posted to this part of space, I knew it wasn't long to wait, and that you'd be the one they'd send. When I heard you were finally on your way, I fired up the plan and everyone left quietly and efficiently. The only people still here are a skeleton crew, and after you and I are finished, they'll leave too. Nobody here will get caught by the zombies. Nobody.
Your daughter will come here, Terden said. She'll come to your house, gun in hand, and if I don't return, you'll never get her back.
A pool of blood was spreading around Terden's body. Oh, I will, but not the way you think I want. He got up again and walked over to Terden, this time kneeling on his damaged hand. Terden hissed in pain, but kept his eyes open and staring straight into Fermar's.
Once somebody's been taken by the Sancha, modified to Carla's level and kept as long as she has, there's no turning back. The only thing I can do for her now is ease her misery, and my own, and that of anybody else your people send to this miserable rock. And if I can't do it for whatever reason, then the explosives will.
Murderer!
Yes.
Terden's expression showed that this had not been the expected reaction. After my team's gone, everyone left here dies.
Including me,
Terden said, clearing his throat and taking deep, hissing breaths.
Including you. You really are a bitter, vengeful old fossil, aren't you?
Terden said, trying to shift so he could glare at Fermar.
And you've lost it. You tried rebelling once when you had a perfectly good chance of saving everyone you cared about, and you failed, so now you want to finish the job and make sure they're all dead.
He had lifted his head with the effort, his shoulders giving him no support, and now he slumped back on the ground, breathing heavily, his one good hand making a fist. Fermar thought about this, then said,
I'm finishing what needs to be finished, and confronting something no one else would, which is a lesson you and a lot of other people should have learned a long time ago. If it wasn't for people like you and that old colony leader, we would never have been in those situations at all, and I wouldn't have lost my daughter.
There was no response. Fermar sighed, aimed his gun and shot Terden in the head. Terden twitched with the impact, then lay still in his puddle of blood. Fermar set the gun down on the chair, then walked over to the comms console and activated it.
It's done, he said.
Very shortly after, several men came into the room.
You're right, sir, they asked him.
Yeah, it's all confirmed, he said. Thanks for waiting. You were close?
Outside the door, practically, one of the men said and grinned. No worries, we didn't listen in. After we heard the shot and his scream, we knew you had him.
All right. Clear out the body, please, then get in your ships as fast as you can. You have a little time, but not much.
The men nodded and carried Terden's body out of the room. Fermar had turned and was about to put away the drink glasses when he heard them all come back in. They walked up to him in silence, and every one of them shook his hand. Then they left. Fermar sat down to wait. If he had failed with Terden, these people would have taken over, after which they would have primed automated triggers that would have set off the explosives as soon as Asantia had gotten into the colony. Now that his suspicions had all been confirmed, the only thing remaining was to sit it out. If something were to happen to him now, the triggers would still work, but he hoped he'd see it through. He hoped he would hear a knock at the door and see another familiar face, if only for a second, before the end. This concludes today's reading of Episode 14, The Plague Years. Thank you for listening. If you are interested in learning more about the rich history of the Eve universe, please visit the Eve Chronicles site at community.eveonline.com/background/POTW. Copyright information regarding the Chronicles in this podcast may be found at evereader.org/copyright.html. No stealth bombers were harmed during the making of this show.